Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, Halima.
Hi, Ione.
And hello to the listeners. Welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ione, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester Online, in print and everywhere else.
And I'm Halima, the community editor at Polyester Scene and co-host of the Polyester Podcast.
This week, we have a sleepover club episode where Halima and I have all those gorgeous conversations you'd usually have at a sleepover with your friends. And soon enough, we will have an obsessions episode for you where we speak to someone we admire about something they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with how they generate their income. Before we get started today, I'd like to say thank you for all of your Indie Sleaze photos. I feel like my entire Instagram has been taken over by Indie Sleaze this week. I feel a bit overwhelmed, to be honest. I feel like we opened Aladdin's lamp. Is it Aladdin's lamp? Whose lamp is it? I don't know.
A genie's lamp.
Genie's lamp, yeah. I feel like we opened that lamp and now it can't get put back and I'm not sure what we've done. But thank you. Please keep showing them to me. And we can all keep experiencing this collective regression together. And before we get started with this week, we would like to give a little call out to anyone who works for a brand or a organization or someone of that ilk who might want to help us keep the podcast going this year. We have worked with some amazing brands before, and this year we would like to widen our scope. So if you're interested in working with us and keeping the Polyester Podcast alive, there is a little Google form in the episode notes and we would love to hear from you. So, Halima, what are we talking about today, love?
We're talking about evil / messy women because I think they get lumped together.
Oh, but you think there's a distinction. Okay, so today we are talking about the rise of evil women on screen, but also our kind of like collective reaction to that and the different reactions to that. This is going to be a two-parter episode because we are very passionate about this. We're kind of structuring it like for and against, even though, you know, we'll see how that goes. It's nuanced. Everything is nuanced. So where should we start, Halima? The reason why we had this episode idea was because Halima found this meme. Do you want to describe it?
Of course. I feel like it's a conversation people have yearly about like Gone Girl or Midsummer. And it's like a Facebook meme and it has the person from Gone Girl. I don't know this movie, but it has Anya Taylor-Joy. There's a bunch of like evil women on TV. And
that's
like
The Witch.
The Witch. Is it? Interesting. And it has Lupita Nyong'o from Us. Like just Carrie Mulligan in Promising Woman. Like a bunch of evil women basically. In film, and the meme goes,
I don't know which film the what's her name, the girl from Handmaid's Tale, oh my god, what's her name, the little Scientologist galley, bottom right, I don't know which film they've screen grabbed this from because she literally plays this in every film.
Have you seen the movie that she's in where it's called, is it Invisible Man?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Do you not?
No.
I saw it on my 20th birthday with my friends. And because my friend told me to go watch it with her, and I did. And we were all just crying in the cinema. But we were crying genuinely out of fear. And we were on the bus going back home. And my friend was like, I'm so sorry I made us watch that. Because I was in such a bad mood. Because it was so scary. Yeah, it was awful. Anyway. The meme basically says, you miss the point if you are idolizing them. And then there's a quote tweet above it that goes, and I'll keep missing the point every time with Gone Girl. I don't care. I don't care.
I agree. There you go. Agree. Podcast done. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah. But
you know, I think it is interesting because there is this thing where there has been the rise of these characters, or like there's a few that Gillian Flynn is like, you know, renowned for this. She wrote Gone Girl. She also wrote Sharp Objects, which was adapted for TV, which is excellent. Have you watched it, Halima?
I have. I did.
I fucking love it.
The ending is so crazy. I didn't even like it when I was watching it because I was like, I feel like uncomfortable watching it.
Yeah.
I was watching it and I was like, ah. And then the ending just, I did not see that coming for the ending.
So we also have on this little meme, as Gemma Collins would say, the remake of Suspiria with Dakota Johnson. We have thingy Florence from Midsommar. I think the girl in the middle is from this really bad horror film and I don't really know why she's there. But anyway.
Wait, is that horror film the one where she's at her wedding and the whole family trying to kill her? I love that film.
It is good, but it's not like Gone Girl, sorry.
No, exactly. She's not evil. She's actually fighting against wealth.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a weird meme.
So we are obsessed with these characters. Why?
I think one of the things people like about it, I think they're really just refreshing characters. Like, it's nice to see women fight against some of these women don't just fight against like evil people, I guess, but a lot of them do fight against evilness or like the things that we hate. Like in Gone Girl, like, who doesn't want to see her get back at her husband? And also Ben Affleck has a really punchable face, so why wouldn't we want to see that happen? Mm-hmm. Or like, even in, I mean, I guess I haven't seen Promising Woman, but I guess it's about I guess it's about like rape culture and stuff like that, so why wouldn't we want to see a woman?
I think this is what I kind of wanted to talk about, because especially that meme has like an array of characters or whatever, and I am definitely pro horrible women in TV, in film, in life. I love horrible people. I think they are really, really good characters, because often it's interesting that often our experiences that are maybe like unsavory have to be framed within like violence, if that makes sense. Like whatever framing of violence you want to, like, for example, I mean, we kind of have like Mean Girls, where girls are just horrible to each other, as in the film, but that's obviously also a teen film. When we're looking at like adult depictions of women going through some shit, it's always kind of through this horror lens, or like it has a horror lens to it, whether it's a horror film or not, like a bloody lens, whatever, which is interesting. I think now, because this genre is obviously like successful and popular, we're seeing like parodies, not parodies, but as in like we're basically seeing the girl bossification of the genre, which is what the original ones were going against, if that makes sense. Like, so that's what I would say Promising Young Woman is. Like, it's like fucking Emerald Fennell sat down and was like, I want to write an empowering rape origin story or whatever. Like, it's so misses the mark because it's so obvious. Like, I feel like we like these films not because, for example, they're revenge films or whatever. We like them because they show the nuances of feminine emotion. So then when it's kind of like, what's it called, retrospectively fitted, like you start with, I'm going to make something that's really badass. I'm going to make something where the girl wins. It just is so embarrassing to me.
I see that. And there's a lot of critique about it when it didn't win an Oscar or something.
I know it was nominated for loads. Emerald Fennell also wrote the new girl boss Cinderella that we are seeing on, you know, the one that Andrew Lloyd Webber was willing to go to prison for during lockdown.
Wait, did she?
Yeah, she wrote
this
that.
This
is
the one
well.
With Camila Cabello? Or is this
No. This is like a stage show, but they both came out at the same time. But it's like, yeah, girl boss Cinderella. Cinderella's a goth. Blah, blah, blah. Embarrassing. Like, I don't know. I like it as a narrative tool. I think it's fun and interesting, and I don't like it when it's it's quite a cynical depiction of it, I feel like Promising Young Woman is, and some of the other ones. Do you know what I mean?
That girlie who wrote Promising Young Woman was her name Camille Parker Bowles in The Crown?
She did, indeed. And she's also very rich.
Is she?
Yes.
With a name like that, I'm not surprised.
I know.
Who is your favourite evil woman on TV, like, that you've seen?
Oh my God, I have so many. I think my favorite film ever, but like, I feel like people, when people are like, what's your favorite film? I don't think I have favorite things, like whether it's film, TV, books, music, because they're actually like, I critically think they're the best thing ever. It's more because like, I can relate. Like, I can relate it to a point in my life, or like when I first found it, when I needed it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And so I still hold a torch for it in that way. I'd say, yeah, when I first discovered this genre, it was through Heathers. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
You need to watch it. It's like Winona Ryder, basically, and she kills all her school bullies.
Well, now that, I can't watch it because you spoiled it.
Well, it's not a spoiler. It literally, like, that happened. It's the main plot. If you Googled it, it would say the same thing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have Googled it.
It came out in the 80s, grow up. And I think that depiction is one of my favourites because, yeah, I watched it when I was a teenager at first. And, you know, I didn't necessarily have a good teenagehood, lol. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favourites is the book My Year of Rest and Relaxation, which actually isn't through a horror lens. It's just more of like an abject woman who won't do what she's meant to do and like just lies in bed for a year, which hashtag relatable.
Lots of people hate that book, you know.
Yeah, what are some of the arguments against? Again,
not clear, because I've never read it, and I don't, you know, when you never read something and people critique it, like I can't, it doesn't stick in my head. I've never read it. I feel like it relates to, I mean, I don't know if she's a bad person, like if she's objectively like an evil person, but or is she just,
she's not
like,
she's just a mess, like,
but that's what I mean. People lump in evil and messy women in this in this dialogue a lot of the time, because people talk about how Fleabag is like evil. Like, is she? I mean, she does something bad, but I don't know if she's evil.
No, she's just a mess.
Exactly. But carry on.
Do you think that speaks to the way that we, like, we don't accept messiness? If that's the thing, like, messiness is something that can be excused, but we're so, like, unused to seeing it or dealing with it that we just say it's evil. So then we don't have to touch it or unpack it or do anything to it.
I definitely think it's easier for people to say that this person is evil, this person is evil, rather than, like, you know, this person is a complex person who has done wrong things. Exactly. And we've all done wrong things. I don't think that makes us all evil. But people love to say that about Fleabag or Sally Rooney's characters, though I've never read a Sally Rooney book. So I don't know the context of the evilness of her characters. But as Gina said, there's a meme that's like, Sally Rooney's characters aren't evil, they're just depressed uni students.
I mean, I think that is so true. I don't know, because it's interesting that these characters are rising in popularity, where it seems like we are becoming less tolerant of them, if that makes sense. Like, so yeah, there's always all these memes that are like, Yas Queen, I love women that kill their husbands. But then everyone's like, no, that is toxic behavior. Duh.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think you're lying if you say you have never been toxic. Like, everyone has been toxic at one point in their life. And exactly. I feel like if we don't see that depicted in popular culture, it brings so much more shame than if it's actually dealt with. And it's like, why are men allowed to work through these emotions in whichever way they want? Like, how many fucking films, TV shows, songs have you like consumed that are about like a man cheating on his wife, or like even a man being like abusive, or a man being manipulative, or a man like even just like being bad at his job and wanting to reject capitalism? And we just say that's the human experience, but when a woman does it, we're like, they are toxic.
Yeah, there's something that Roxane Gay mentioned in her book Bad Feminist, where it's like, when a woman is unlikable, like she's a problem. And she mentioned something like, likability is a very, like, it's a lie, a code of conduct depicting the proper way to be. The question of likability suggests that the character should not be a reflection of us, but of our better selves.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think we expect that more and more from our characters to be reflections
of
our better selves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting to frame it within likability and these characters that completely reject it, or characters that play with the boundaries of that, maybe, because likability is basically one of the only tools in our current like era of life that marginalized people have to like utilize, like, or we've made ourselves believe that. I don't necessarily think it should be that way. I don't think it should be that way, not even necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, we basically, marginalized people basically use their currency of likability to be understood. Like, we're so desperate to be, I've spoken about this before, that we like bank on likability. So I think it's really refreshing to see people that just reject likability
exactly
at all times.
But I also find that, like, when in terms of like messy women versus evil women, I think there's a lot of evil women who are like, evil women aren't likable. I don't think they want to be likable. Like, they're not written in that way. Like, when you think of people like Olivia Pope from Scandal, or like Annalise Keating and How to Get Away with Murder, like, these women aren't, they're not likable at all. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like messy women, I think messy women, even though we seem to have a lot less tolerance for them, there is something that's likable about their characters, because they show like a truth of, I don't know, humanity in a way.
It's vulnerability.
Yeah, it is vulnerability.
I think as well, like, there's definitely a kind of like relationship in terms of messy characters that we can accept their messiness because they exist within a framework that is very privileged.
You're right.
And I don't think that means we can't enjoy some of those characters, but it definitely leaves a bad taste in my mouth in some respects. So, for example, Fleabag. Like, I didn't love it. Sorry, don't cancel me. Like,
you,
I liked,
love Fleabag.
I liked some of it, and I don't think, you know, I don't think it's a bad piece of writing or work because she's rich. Because I think it is a good piece of work, you know. But I do think, you know, these women that are like trust fund babies, whether they're like Emerald Fennell or Phoebe Waller-Bridge, or like in My Year of Rest and Relaxation, for example, the protagonist is like rich, privileged, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is a misreading, whatever, or this is just how I interpreted it, like, you're meant to loathe her for those reasons, do you know what I mean? Like, it's part of the character that that's what makes her insufferable, that she is this privileged person, whereas like in Fleabag or whatever else, like, or whatever times we see like a gorgeous skinny white person, that's the only reason we can accept it, because they fit in so many other ways.
Mm-hmm. You're right. There's an article I read yesterday. It was called Stop the Debate About TV's Messy Women and Start One About Who Gets to Play Them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main points of the piece was that, nevertheless, there's freedom in being allowed to be a character who is bedlam personified and still revered for it. It's proof that someone like you can go completely wild and still be respected at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Black women get the same opportunity to be like that on TV. Like, when I think of, like, messy women, I guess, like, because I guess evil women and messy women get kind of lumped together. When talking about, like, Olivia Pope and Annalise Keating, these are two evil women, I guess. And people are like, oh, but these are evil women who are kind of messy. But, like, when you really think about their characters in Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, they're not messy. They're really
they're very calculated. Yeah.
Very calculated people. They don't get the opportunity to be a
mess. Viola Davis, like, always plays, like, calculated, evil women.
Evil. She's good at it.
Yeah.
She was, I don't know if you've ever watched Suicide Squad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched the new one.
Oh! She's the worst character in the world. But she's really put together. She's really neat. And even like when I think about people like Issa from Insecure, she's quite messy. But she has a very, very neat archive toward, or neat like character arc towards like self-discovery, success, and her improved romantic relationship. Like, it's quite neat in that regard. Mm. So there isn't a character like I mean, I guess you could say that we have like, I think Michaela Cole is really good for this, and like Chewing Gum or May I Destroy You. I think there's, but we need more of it because I don't think women of color get that same respect.
I think it's really interesting because I write about this in my book, obviously not through like a black woman gaze because I'm not black, but like, and it's interesting to consider in the context of, did you, you know, Misha, who's one of our Dollhouse columnists, sign up for the Dollhouse and plug, about like when they were talking about diva worship, so how basically like these Hollywood, Golden Hollywood starlets like Marilyn Monroe, Bette Davis, blah, 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 became like vehicles for queer people because they couldn't actually get their story told. Obviously, we're in much different times now and we should see this representation. But for me as a teenager, that's how it kind of felt like watching Carrie or watching Ginger Snaps or watching all these horror films, because like I didn't look like that person, but I could like insert my feelings into them, if that makes sense. And obviously now we're at a point in time where we can actually take that further and just tell stories. But I think it's also interesting. So, sorry, I'm like skipping all around points at the moment. Like what you're saying about messy versus evil, because it's usually the evil women, like not really, but like in the examples you said, and also me and you were both talking about I Care a Lot, actually, the film with Rosamund Pike. Like the way that we can perceive evilness is kind of more through this like stitched up way, and that makes them less relatable. We're putting the characters forward that are women of color and purposefully making them less relatable. Yeah,
definitely.
Because they're so put together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true.
But no, this is why me and you are both obsessed with, drum roll please, the moment me and you have both been waiting for.
Oh, Yellow Jacket. Well, actually, it's so true, actually. I was thinking this because when, like, thinking about messy women, as you said, there is only one type of woman who is able to be this messy person and this person who is still loved. And it's interesting because it's always like white women or a particular type of white woman who can kind of like, what's it called? Break the conventions of femininity, even when femininity was made for them to benefit them. And I think Yellow Jackets is a great show in showing that, like, even though, like, I guess, I think Yellow Jackets is a great show in showing that, like, different types of women can be very messy and very evil.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's interesting because there's two characters, or maybe three now, but no spoilers, but I would say there's two characters that follow the archetype of being purposefully manipulative, and that would be Misty and potentially Shauna. I don't know if that is a controversial statement, and they not Shauna really, because there has been, you know, the Melanie Linsky who plays Shauna has come out and said the producers of Yellow Jackets tried to make her lose weight, which is rush. But Shauna, A, is the only one that's, like, actively loved, even though her husband knows or whatever about whatever happened. And Misty is the only one that is calculated in her evilness, I feel. Like, Natalie, for example, who is played by Juliette Lewis, is, like, messy and has bad intentions, but she's self-aware. And also, I don't think she really does it on purpose. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then Thaisa, it's just a very complicated character, which we love to see.
I love to see a black woman be complicated. I love them doing that. Like, I feel like Natalie is one of the characters who I don't think she's bad. Like, I think Shauna is kind of bad. I think she's bad. I don't know about Thaisa. That end scene haunts my brain.
I don't even think Thaisa knows about Thaisa.
But it's such a good show. Like, I'm obsessed.
I think that's what we should be doing when we, like, that's what we've, like, that's what we're all kind of, like, yearning for when we watch maybe these other depictions of evil / messy femininity that don't hit the mark. We want to see something that's as well-rounded as Yellow Jackets, because it doesn't only say, like, so much of, like, evil femininity is implied, like, for example, with Carrie, the film, the Stephen King film and book, it's like she's bullied and she switches one day, but then she's just so evil and the switch is like so immediate. Whereas with Yellow Jacket, and I think I love Carrie, no, like I'm not slandering it, but like we've come to a point now where with Yellow Jackets, it's like playing with all these themes like horror, friendship dynamics, but it's also like showing the things that lead up to it, like the trauma and like the argument, like, you know, the fact that an argument with your friends can then lead to you actually doing something really, really dark, as opposed to being like, it's tracing it all out in a way that's not spoon-fed to the audience, but helps you make the connections, if that makes sense.
It's deeper in it. It's not just people being nasty. It's much deeper. I think Yellow Jackets is great in showing that as well. Like, even though I think Shauna is, I always felt weird about Shauna from day one, from day dot. I felt weird about her, but
I like her. I think she's.
I like her a lot. Yeah, that's the thing. I thought she was, I always had a weird vibe about her in the beginning, but that doesn't mean I don't like her. I think she's exactly so unsettling. Right? Like, she's such a like a. I think it's because I know her character from other. I know her as a person from other things. So she's always played like kind of a nicey character. So, and I think she has a kind of like nicey, kind of sickling, sweet kind of vibe going on. But also, she's not like that at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love it. Like, she's complex.
I think that's why we like these characters, because it's the only opportunity we have to see really complex characters. Like, we will do a whole episode on just like that, and we actually are going to, but like, that is an attempt to build complex characters that deal with social issues that
it's so flat. It just makes me mad because I think they have such a great opportunity like to do something about middle aging and the things that come with it, and they just don't do it well. That's for another day, I guess. Also, can I say my favorite evil character? Cersei Lannister.
Oh my god, she's so bad.
She's the worst person ever. Oh my god, she made her son kill himself. I just can't get over it when she blew up the thing. Whoa.
I mean, yeah, I feel like, I don't know. So, let's not get into Game of Thrones. No, I just feel like Game of Thrones like played like it flew so close to the sun in so many ways of like trying to make good characters, and
I know I can't believe like what they even did to what's her name, Daenerys.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
I wish that I was intelligent enough to watch Game of Thrones during its peak, because imagine us doing an episode about Game of Thrones. That would have been iconic.
Alfie, my partner, did do that.
Okay.
Like, he used to have to wait, because I hated Game of Thrones for so long, because I don't know. I just had a thing against it. Like, when you're just like, no, I'm not ever going to engage with that piece of material. I've watched it all now. So he used to have to wake up at like 6 a.m. before he went to work to watch it. That's the only time I would let him. And that, my friends, is why I'm toxic. Close out the episode. Anyway, we would love to hear your thoughts for evil/messy femininity. Next week, we are going to do the against. So you may also tell us your against thoughts. You can, tell us in all the normal ways. We will be back with our other thoughts. I'm interested to get into it, because there is a backlash. The backlash is real.
Mm-hmm, true, truly.
For now, thank you, Halima.
Thank you, Ayani.
And thank you to all of you listeners. Thank you to everyone on the Dollhouse chat that contributed your thoughts to this. You should join the Dollhouse chat if you want to get your say in on the topics before we discuss them. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Gina and Eden and Charlotte and Grace and Hattie and Clarissa and Olivia for editing this podcast. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.